Mark chapter 14. Look down at verse 26. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. They're in the upper room now. Jesus is instituting communion or the Lord's Supper. Now he's going to go out to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. And then you know what's going to happen. And Jesus saith unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. But Peter said unto him, although all shall be offended, yet will not I. And Jesus said unto him, boy, this is some bad news right here. Verily I say unto thee, that this day, even this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. But he spake the more vehemently, if I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also said they all. And they came to a place which is named Gethsemane. And he saith to his disciples, sit ye here while I shall pray. And he taketh with him Peter, James, and John, and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy. And he saith unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. Boy, he was going through something right now. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, remember that what I just said, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou will. May God bless his word. May we bow our hearts. Loving God, thank you for the word of God. And thank you for the Savior of the word. Thank you for the one that came from the bosom of the Father to become a man, to be a sacrifice for the sins of all the world, that whoever would believe in him would have everlasting life. We praise you on this Lord's Day. We thank you that you give us strength and opportunity that we could assemble today. We have gathered here to worship thee, to praise you, to recognize that you are our God, our Creator, and our Savior through Jesus Christ. Lord, draw our hearts closer to you. Let us lay our head on your bosom and find rest and comfort and strength as we bow in humility, recognizing who you are, recognizing how helpless we are, and knowing how needy we are. Thank you for loving us, for considering us. Thank you that the Son of Man was willing to do the Father's will. Help me this morning. I'm little, Lord. I'm nothing, Lord. I'm helpless. Bless your word to our people today. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus knew that God was his Father. Those Pharisees didn't believe that, though, did they? From eternity, I want you to think about this. Jesus had resided in the bosom of the Father. John 1:18 says, think about this now. From eternity past, Jesus had been in the bosom of the Father. What a relationship that must have been, so near and dear to the heart of God. What a loving, eternal relationship. The Father and the Son. It's nice to have a son that you love. And God loved his son. The son loved the father and honored the father. Never a disagreement between them. Think about that, men, sisters. They never had a single disagreement. Never a question or their feeling one towards the other. What a witness for us today to follow after in a fallen world. What a witness. Jesus recognized that with God all things are possible. That's what he said, isn't it? But listen, are all things possible? Is that so? Well, there's one thing that was not possible with God because of the curse of sin that had to be dealt with. The curse of sin. A word that's not used many times in our society today, is it? Well, there's only one solution that would satisfy God about sin. His only darling son that he was in fellowship with from eternity would have to be sacrificed for man's sin. Think about that. There was no other possibility. Yet we just read Jesus said all things are possible. But there's one thing that's not possible. Jesus had to die. There was no other possibility for the problem of sin. That's how awful sin is to God, folks. That even God couldn't come up with any other plan. Think about that. I want you to think about that. Not even God could come up with an alternative plan. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who do no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Listen to me this morning. Did you know God doesn't think? God does not think. God knows. Think about the difference. God doesn't think. You think. You're thinking about what I just said. But God don't think. God knows. He already knows everything. He knows how many stars are in the sky. He knows how many grains of sand is down on all the beaches of the world. He knows. He don't even have to think about it. He don't even need a calculator. He knows. I'm talking about the magnitude of the greatness of God today. And yet he couldn't come up with another plan concerning sin. God does not have to count the stars because he already knows. You know, they sent me as an ignorant little boy to school one day to try to learn my ABCs. But these modern youngers know all that stuff before they went to school. Us youngers didn't know that. We went to school, we didn't know nothing. God knows every thought you've had, every word you spoke, everything you've did, and he knows everybody else the same way. He's always known it. He don't have to stop and think about it. He knows it. I'm talking about the awesomeness of our Creator God, who he is. And yet he couldn't find another way to get rid of sin other than his son have to die. That staggers your mind, folks. Because he is God. Amen. You and I have to learn everything we know. We have to learn. You have to learn that fire is hot. Amen. But God always knew everything. Maybe when we get to heaven, we'll know something sometime. Amen. God is such an awesome God in knowledge, in wisdom, and in his power. And he's our heavenly Father, folks. Amen. Now I want you to think with me for a moment about this. Jesus said all things are possible with God. He said, take away this cup. That's what he said to his father. Take this cup away. The cup Jesus was referring to was a cup assigned to him to drink. It was a sign to him. Just like, did you know troubles and trials are assigned to us to develop our faith? To help us to be stronger? I reckon Faye's getting a whole lot of it today. Amen. The cup Jesus was referring to, God assigned it to him to drink this bitter cup. It was a cup like no other cup. Let me remind you, God assigns you some trials. We don't like them, do we? We want it to be a sunshiny day every day, but it don't work like that, does it? I don't think we'll have trials in heaven, amen? Won't that be nice? But God knew what his son would do. He knew his son would do his will. And that's the reason this preacher here don't believe Jesus Christ, when he came, could ever have sinned. We got scholars that believe he could have sinned. I'm talking about we got Bible scholars that believe that. I don't believe that. Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. Oh, he was very God, but he was also a man just like me and you is a person. But I don't believe Jesus Christ could have sinned. He hated sin too much, folks, amen. He was against sin. And he came to do the Father's will, and he always done the Father's will. He couldn't sin. But if he had, you and I wouldn't have a Savior. And you and I wouldn't be here today. This cup meant Jesus would have to be made sin. He'd have to be made the most hateful thing that there is to God. Sin. And then he'd have to be judged for that sin. We had a Sunday school lesson today about a man that sinned bad, didn't he? He was evil. Look how it cost him. And Jesus suffered more than that man ever thought about suffering. Because Jesus took everybody's sin on himself, folks. He took everybody's sin, everybody's evilness and wickedness of the whole human family was transferred to him, and he was judged. There's no words to describe what he went through. Who his own self bore our sins in his own body. Listen to that. I'm talking about what the Word of God says. That we, being dead to sin, should live under righteousness. By whose stripes ye are healed. He took all of our sin so we could be healed. And that refers to our souls was healed. A lot of these groups of people out there think it's their body healing. It's not talking about body healing there. Healing's in the atonement, but it's when you get your new body. He's talking about the healing of your soul here. When you get saved, your soul is healed forever. Amen. Isn't that good? The words, everything is possible for you, indicates that God is omnipotent. He could accomplish anything. He can. But his son would have to die to accomplish what God wanted. With the words, take this cup of suffering away. With the words, take this cup of suffering away from me, Jesus was referring to the agony and the separation from God and the death he would have to endure in order to atone for the sins of the world. Two things Jesus did not want. He did not want to be separated from his Father. That union was too close. He did not want to be separated. And second, he didn't want to be made sin. That's the reason he said, take this cup away, if it's possible. If not, get that, thy will be done. And not mine, the Son prayed. I was laying in bed last night thinking about faith. I said, Lord, not my will, but thine. You know what you're trying to accomplish. Thy will be done. You and I cannot fathom the depth of the cost this was to Jesus. You and I cannot comprehend the depth of what it cost him. Our imagination is not that great. He was not just going to be nailed to a cross. That would be bad enough, wouldn't it, folks? I'm seeing how Faye has suffered. That woman has suffered. I'm going to tell you something. I'm not trying to have a pity party, but her pain is such that there's no word to describe it. It's like jagging a knife in somebody and twisting it. If you ever had pain like that. But he was not just going to be nailed to the cross to die. But he was going to be made sin, the most detestable, the most hateful thing there was to God. Jesus, God's Son, recoiled from sin. Yet part of his task would be to take the sins of the whole world upon himself. Being made sin would involve being separated from his Father. And this was a no-no for him. But something he was willing to do to please the Father. I want us to get hold of that, folks. Aren't we God's children today? Do we want to really please our Father? No matter what, that's what Jesus said. No matter what, we want to please God, our Father. Grab hold of that today and hold on to it. Being made sin would be involved being separated from his Father. And this never happened before because he had resided in the body, in the bosom of the Father, and now he was going to be made sin, the thing God hated. This was truly a bitter cup he had to drink. And you know what? It weren't anything that he had did. He was doing it for people like me. He was doing it for people like me. What would us humans do? No, that's his problem. That's his problem. That's her problem. Not Jesus. Not God. You're that loved. I wish you could get your arms of faith around this. You're that loved. That the Son of God was going to go through all this for you. You that think you're so good. You that think this ought not to happen. But we're sinners. And we deserve it to happen. This world has lost sight of that today. The world has lost sight of that today. We're so important today. I went to school. The physical suffering would be horrible enough, but what God's Son feared most was this cup of spiritual suffering. Spiritually, his soul was made an offering for sin, not just his body. Taking on sin, being separated from God the Father, was a terrifying experience. And he sweated. His sweat was his great drops of blood. He was praying so hard. If there's any other way. But there was no other way. Not my will, but thine. I accept your will, Father. And that settled it. Why don't we hate sin that much, church? Why don't we hate sin? Sin brings suffering and is costly. Our Sunday school lesson gives us a good taste of that. Sin is costly. You can't get by with it. Yet we love it, don't we? Don't we just love sin? Do what we want to do. Hey, folks, it's that way with the preacher, too. It's that way with every one of us. Sometimes when we want to do good, we do wrong. Amen. Yeah, we do wrong when we don't even plan to. Humans just love sin. We just love sin. We chase after sin. We sin and never even think about it today in this country. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with strong cries and tears, talking about Jesus, unto him that was able to save him from death and was heard in that he feared. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Even Jesus had to learn, brother. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Hebrews 5, 7 through 9. Jesus Christ proved to be perfect, didn't he? That's the reason he became a sacrifice acceptable to be offered. Because if he'd have failed at one little point, we'd have had no Savior. because God wouldn't have accepted him. You remember when the sacrifices were offered by the under the Mosaic law? Every sacrifice had to be the best one in the herd. God wouldn't take or accept anything less than the best one. God always wants the best. And God says to me, be the best. We got to learn to be the best. Walk holy, live holy. Because we're a holy people. Because we've been made right with God. Amen? Jesus reaffirmed his desire to do what God wanted by saying, yet I want your will, not mine. Jesus wanted God's will to be done, not his. He respected his heavenly Father. God did not take away that cup. For to judge the sins of the world was his will. God wanted to deal with the sin problem for every person. Thank God for that. Every person's sin has been dealt with. Every person that would ever live in this world, their sin was nailed to that same cross that your sin and my sin was nailed to. And God judged his son for every person that would ever live in this world. Their sin is paid for. Now, if God would have said, hey, now, everybody in the world, I want y'all to go over yonder to one of them car dealers. There's a brand new, well, I saw one down at Lumberton the other day, a Cadillac. It was $86,000. God says, there's an $86,000 Cadillac for every person in the world. How many people you think would have missed going? Huh? How many think would miss going to get them one? Everybody go get one. They had to crawl. You know it, don't you, sister? That's humans. You see this now with all the giveaways. People, they go get it where they need it or not. But I'm going to tell you something. There's not many people going to church today to get saved. Where they'll live forever. Isn't that strange how the devil blinds people's eyes and deceives people? The devil knows if everybody go get some a Cadillac, they'll probably use it to stay away from God. Amen? I didn't hear much amen on that. Jesus was going to be denied, betrayed, beaten, spit on. I don't know if I could take that one or not. His beard plucked out. A crown of thorns crammed on his head. Mocked, stripped naked, nailed to a cross, hung between two thieves. His soul made an offering for sin. And separated from his father, and then left to die. The cup Jesus was referring to was being made that cursed thing, sin. Jesus prayed to his father, not my will, but thine will be done. While all things are possible with God, yet there was no other way for sinners to be saved but by Jesus taking man's place and paying for our sin so we would not be judged for our sin and separated from God for eternity. Now, in your bulletin today, I copied something that I found about judgment. I hope you'll read it later today if you haven't already. But it's the great white throne judgment when people that wouldn't accept what God did for them, wouldn't accept what Jesus did for them. My understanding in the Bible, most people will be at that great white throne judgment. Not be one saved person there. All of them will be condemned. And yet their sin was paid for. Don't you know that's going to be a shocker when they discover that? Their sin was already paid for and they missed out. Oh, Jesus. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible to thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou will. Mark 14:36. To the bitter end, Jesus was seeking always to do the will of his Father, even to be made sin. With all the infinite power of God, there was no other way to deal with sin. With all the infinite knowledge of God, there was no other way to satisfy God in the regards of man's sin. With all the infinite wisdom of God, there was no other way. Jesus must die. If Jesus suffered, think of the pain of the Father. Now, you fathers out there today, and even moms, if it was your child taken and treated like that, how would you feel? Now, wouldn't that be awful? Well, you think God had any other feelings when he saw the way his son was treated? And how humans would doing him. Think of the agony of the Father beholding this, folks. Think of how much God hated sin. And the Father willed that his only Son still must die upon the cross for me. Must die for me. Because we're so loved, church. Church, we're so loved. I tell you what, folks, that's a lot of love. How can I understand that kind of love? If God is going to allow his only son to die such a horrible death, how do you think he feels towards those who reject his son? Who suffered such agony for them. How do you think God feels towards those people? You know why he still loves them? God still loves them. You know why? You know why? He's the God of love. He just hates their sin. He just hates their sin. And Satan has deceived them. And they wouldn't listen to the word. They wouldn't listen to the gospel. They listened to Satan. How do you think God feels towards those who are scoffing at repenting of their sin? You know, we got people who would actually scoff at the idea of me. Repent? Repent for what? I'm telling y'all the truth. How do you think God feels towards those whose pride defies them bowing to him? I ain't going to bow. Wait and see. Wait and see, brothers. How do you think God feels so when he hears his dear son screaming from across, my God, why have you forsaken me? You know, my question is this, how did God hold back from helping him? How do you think God feels when he sees his only son cursed and mocked and hated and blasphemed when he suffered such agony to save such sinners? Let's shrug it off. That's his hard luck. Every sinner who rejects God's Son will be damned for eternity, who refuse to be washed from their sin through the blood of the cross. They'll be damned for eternity. People just don't know how serious life is. God didn't put us here to have a party, folks. Did y'all know that? People seem like the modern society today thinks we're supposed to have a party. Every day is to be a party. A good time. What is so disheartening is so many people are ignoring what God has did for them. It troubles me, it bothers me. So many have no concern for their relationship with God, and some Christians seem to be so what? It seems like many live in a stupor or a state of near unconsciousness or insensibility. Surely God wouldn't allow them to go to hell, sinners, that is, as some preachers are preaching. I don't believe God sends somebody to hell. Wait and see. Just wait and see. It'll be too late then, won't it? It's too late then. Too late, Doc. Mom's already dead. That old saying. Then he said to him, a certain man had a great supper, and he bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. Got everything ready for the big dinner now. And they all, with all with one consent, began to make an excuse. The first one said, I bought a piece of ground, and I got to go look. I need to go see it. He hadn't even seen it, had bought it. Oh, my. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I got to go prove them. I pray ye have me excused. Another said, I married a wife. And he said, I can't leave her. And the servant said, Lord, it's done as thou hast commanded. Yet there's room. And the Lord said to his servant, go out into the highways, the hedges. Compel them to come in that my house might be filled. I say unto you that none of these men which were bidden shall even taste of my supper. That's what the Lord said. It wasn't what I said. Amen. The Lord said, I invited you, wouldn't come. You know what? This old preacher here, as 14-year-old, I came. I didn't want to miss him. Amen. Can y'all imagine that supper table at the wedding supper of the bride? Boy, that's going to be a fantastic meal. Amen. Won't be no chicken, praise God. Won't be no chicken and pastry, Evelyn. Amen. Amen, folks. We, the human family, don't deserve to be saved, but God has saved everybody that'll come. Amen. Everybody to say, Lord, I want to be saved. Have you ever really said that? Lord, I want to be saved. You know that thief on the cross side of Jesus? He didn't say, Lord, I want to be saved. He didn't say, Lord, please forgive me. He didn't even say that. You know what he said? Lord, remember me. Amen. You know what? You see, it's not so much the words, it's what's in the heart. It's that heart attitude. Lord, remember me. Amen. I'm going to have a fit when I get there. Amen. 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 God does not see any good in any of us. I wish we could all understand that. That we're not good. By God's standard, we're none good. We're raised a sinner. We're still sinners. We're just saved. We've just been reclassified. We're saved sinners. Amen? I'll tell you what. I try to tiptoe along in life myself. I try to be careful. And still I messes up. Sometimes I could, you know what? I could straighten them out, I think. But man does not think of himself. He always thinks he's good. I'm good. Romans 12:3, for I say, though through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, every man and woman, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. What man wants is for God to leave him alone. You listen, see if I'm not telling you right. What man wants is for God to leave him alone and let him live as he pleases. That's what every person wants till you get saved. Leave me alone. I want to have a good time. And I tell you what the truth is. I wouldn't trade places with nobody in the world because I know I've been saved. And I'm having a good time. I'm having a good time right now, Lord. Amen. Man does not want to be told what he can do and not do. Amen. Man wants to be his own God, run his own life, do his own thing. But if you go to heaven, you can't go that way. You got to humble yourself. Jesus said you got to humble yourself like a little child, didn't he? Amen. But in his grace, God allows someone else to pay for man's sin. God's allowed his own son to do that. People who refuse to acknowledge they are a sinner cannot be saved and receive God's grace. God's not forcing anybody. You know what? God's not even threatening anybody. God's just telling everybody. Amen? God is lovingly telling everybody. I don't want to come across threatening people, but I want to boldly say, if you don't repent, you're going to be in a pickle one day. And it'll be a hot pickle too. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, makes no difference who, believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. What a God, folks. What God has did. What else could God have did? There was no other way to be saved but what God did by letting his son take our place. Who his own self by our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live under righteousness, by whose stripes you're healed. 1 Peter 2:24. I had to say that again. The Bible says you're complete in him now. Now that you've been saved, you're complete. Your salvation is assured. We're just now waiting for it to be completed. Our names is already written down. The Lord won't miss a single one of us. Amen. This is God's very best. He offered the very best to be sacrificed for our salvation. Let's give him our best, church. Let's try to keep getting out the gospel through the airwaves and through our newsletters and through any other means that we can to keep telling the good news. And if anybody's wise enough to be saved. But the Bible says his word will not return to him void. Amen. Anyone here needs to come praise God today in your heart. Here at the altar, we invite you to come. If you're not being saved, I don't know. Because a life can surprise you. If you hadn't been saved, we'll invite you to the Lord. You want to pray for somebody? You want to come to the altar? You know, I just like to see people come to the altar.